Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He's the fastest man on the planet. He'd have got there, rabbits.
Beers, beers, and more beers. I can't wait. I cannot wait. What about Andrew King? Put him in the sucker. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Semi-finals done and dusted. We are getting to the final pointy end of the season, and one man that's made the final of the 10K charity league and has pocketed himself a cool $2,500 thanks to a bit of gentleman's agreement and taking the prize money before the grand final and Teamless Tuesday carnage hits is Bruce C. Join me once again, mate. How are we?
Wonderful. As you said, I won my head-to-head match to proceed to the grand final. Me and Mr. Supercoach, who is my opponent, we decided that this week upcoming is a bit too chaotic. It's not particularly fair for a long season. So we had a gentleman's agreement and decided that no matter what happens this week, we will split it 50-50. Top Sport came to the party and has paid out.
Cannot complain about that, mate. As I said last week, my classic season is well and truly over, but I also managed to win in the weekly Rubdowns Listener League draft competition. So nice little chunk of change going there to me. Thankfully, Brian Totley came back, rose from the dead, got me a good score. We got over the line by about 50 points or so, had the VC on Garrick, and that was a real letdown. Then we had to pin all the hopes and dreams on the Cleary, who only was on 36 or something at halftime, thanks to that try assist to Moses Leota, which we'll touch on. But yeah, the second half of that Panthers game, I never thought I'd be cheering on the Panthers to put a score up against the Tigers. But obviously, with it all on the line and Cleary captained, we were really, really hoping for that big late push from the Panthers. Mate, we're going to round up the round just gone. A lot of teams pushing for the grand final spots in Classic. I mean, in an NRL standpoint as well, also pushing for that top eight spot. And one side that really solidified that, and one side that's probably lost touch of that, the Knights and the Titans, mate, 15-14. You said to me off camera you didn't get a chance to watch this game, so I'll have to give you a bit of a rundown. This one was a really scrappy affair. The Knights got the job done. It's been the season, the story of their season, just not really being, I would say, overall deserving winners, but just doing enough to get the job done. And when you're pushing for September 40, that's all you need. Kalen Ponga with an 80 finally repaid the faith for some owners. And our man David Fifita scored an 85 with a really nice solo try, mate. We touched on him last week. Like, if it's going to take a try for him to get 85 as a premium forward, I'm not too sure what his stocks are moving forward in 2022.
Oh, you'll take 85 with a try from most players. I guess the issue with him is, you know, I think, again, on the weekend he started off the bench and only played 40-something minutes, and some weeks he looks like he's going to score a try every time he touches the ball, and other times it's like he doesn't want to touch the ball. I think that's the issue with Fifita.
Yeah, it does go sort of in and out of games and can be quote-unquote missing. And I guess when he pops up with these plays, 85 is great, but I'm not too sure because like people have to remember the pricing is generally not done off form. So people are all happy that Nico Hines is going to be dirt cheap next year, but in reality it's done off averages. So you guys like Fifita, Hines, like these are going to be expensive players next year, just based off their form this year. So it's an interesting one to work out that we'll touch on preseason next year if we can sort of fit him in, because there's plenty of guys to also have. Mitchell Pearce, 71. He had the game-winning field goal. Philip Sami with a 75. Tino Fasumalo with a 65. Pretty much all in base. That's nice for you. I think you own him in Classic. Frizzell, 69 as well. But apart from that, mate, sort of a little bit floundering. Barnett and co. Didn't crack above 50. Jaden Bradley back to sort of 44-ish. The real star of the show would have been Kalen Ponga, considering a lot of people did trade him out for, I guess, Tedesco as well. That was a popular trading target. So, yeah, the Knights solidify their top eight spot. The Titans will be hanging onto a thread all to play for next week, mate. The Raiders as well, they're another side that also are putting together some form. And the Warriors just couldn't quite hang in there. Wade Egan top scored for them with a 72. Apart from that, no one else really got above 60. For the Raiders, though, Jordan Rapana, Hudson Young, Chance Nickel Cookstar, Sebastian Chris, like the outside backs really dominated this, and you would expect so in a 16-28 scoreline. Outside backs doing well. Jordan Rapana had the kick to win the game, as we know, missed it, but came up trumps with that last play sort of the game. What did you make of the Raiders' performance? Do we see them potentially causing some kind of upset in the finals footy? I don't see it, unfortunately.
I think it was a bit of a tale of both sides. I think the Warriors were a bit off. Canberra did play better, and that was nice to see. I still don't think they're on the same level. If Canberra went on to play a Knights or, you know, someone in that 7-8 type of spot in the finals, I don't know who would win. So I wouldn't say that they are back. Rapana looked pretty good at the back. I was quite impressed with his performance, and we know that CNK is a good player. He just doesn't have any, you know, doesn't have any meters in the legs this year. So I wasn't surprised by it, but I really thought that the Warriors would have fought a little bit harder than they did in this one.
Yeah, I don't think the scoreline depicted the 12-point win. I do think the Raiders were quite comfortable in winning this. I mean, moving down the list, Reece Walsh, 27, just sort of shut out of this game. I said on the preview that I thought having Townsend and O'Sullivan in the halves would free him up much more, but it just really stifled their attack. And I think the Raiders did a fantastic job of shutting down the focal point in the attack in Reece Walsh. And Cody Nicarima, mate, 3 points. It's fallen off a cliff for Cody, hasn't it?
Yeah, Cody. So I remember buying Cody at nearly 580K or something like that and selling him the next week. And I just sit there and go, never, ever again. He's never someone I've really looked at, but I really bought the online hype this year. And he's, as you said, he's literally Wile E. Coyote'd it off a cliff this year so bad.
Yeah, he. I think he was one of the most popular trading targets 1 week. I want to say around 18, 19.
And 15, I think.
I think that week he got injured. And then came back off the bench, and yeah, a lot of coaches sort of held the faith that he'd come back, but it didn't happen. And yeah, the Raiders got the win, the Raiders got the job done, and they're pushing for that final spot. I think they have to get the win this week over the Chooks, I think they play. So no better time to play the Chooks than this week, considering the amount of outs they're going to have. Mate, I'll let you take over this one. I think last week you said that the Bunnies would do the Chooks here by at least 30, and a 12-54 scoreline sort of reflected that performance.
Yes, Sydney 12, Souths 54. After 55 minutes, 60 minutes maybe, it was 24-12, and the game was going kind of how I expected it to. The Souths were in control, but the Roosters were hanging on. And then, as is the trend this season, last 20-25 minutes of games that the more dominant of the two sides really just starts racking up the points. Obviously, there was a lot in this game. Latrell Mitchell's hit on Joey Manu. I said it on Twitter over the weekend that I think Latrell Mitchell plays with an intention to hurt people at times. There is playing with aggression, and then there's playing with the intent to hurt. And I honestly think at times he intends to hurt people, which is disappointing. Roosters they're battered, bruised and broken. They can barely field a side. Shout out to, you know, Taukeiako for coming back on the field injured to just try and give them the numbers. But you can't have 17 players on the pine, which is that's the number that they have this week, 17 players unavailable. It's just madness. Latrell as well, going back to him, he might have ended South season single-handedly with his brain fart. Like, he's got obviously suspended for the rest of the year. He's a key piece in their side. And add that to Reynolds, you know, carrying some type of injury. I'm not sure on the extent of that. And it's not looking good for the Bunnies. So, yeah, what did you think about, obviously, Latrell Mitchell's shot on Joey Manu?
I think it should have been a send-off, just a straight send-off. I think Trent Robertson's quotes in the press conference summed it up quite well. I mean, the bunker this year is a farce. We saw that with the Trbojevic try. I know everyone will love that, being Trbojevic owners and captaining him this week. But if we're looking at it from NRL standpoint, Trbojevic dropped that cold for his first try.
Agree with that.
Latrell Mitchell, it was a shoulder to the head. If that was Jack Hetherington, he's sent without question, and no one denies it. He plays with so much aggression and intent. It gets South on the front foot, but you have those brain snap moments and yeah, look, I mean, you saw with the Thomas Flegler got sin bin from coming out of the line and clipping someone on the chin, and that was nowhere near as bad as Latrell, I think. And the fact that, I think Trent Robinson hit the nail on the head that it wasn't pulled up until 30, 40 seconds after.
Yeah, it was nearly a minute after the play, and it took the player who had a, you know, a compressed face to go up and pretty much say, hey, what the F, man, like, you just dog-shotted me, for them to actually stop play in this instant. And like, that goes down to the bunker, that goes down to the referee, but it also goes down to the Roosters trainer. The Roosters trainer, you know, should have had play stopped instantly in that instance and not let Madu walk over there and instigate what would then pursue.
I think Latrell is lucky that there was a bunch of rookies on the field, not someone like a Radley or a Jadry or Hargraves, because I don't think he would have fared overly great coming out of that. But from a Supercoach standpoint, your own stocks in this Rabbitohs left-hand side, you're doing pretty well. AJ with his 125, Mark Nichols with a double with a 116. How good for the front rowers club. Jackson Paulo with a 112, Cody Walker with 107. He got blessed in updates. And Latrell, yeah. Latrell didn't get punished, because I thought it was either or. I thought Latrell would either lose and Cody would gain, but they both held. I think Cody finished the game on 81 and upgraded to 107. Latrell, I think, finished at 105 and went up to 106. Like, yeah, when you have 5 tons in your side from a Supercoach standpoint, you're obviously going to do well, and the margin reflected that. Jaden Sewell with a 77, Damien Cook with a 76, Cam Murray with a 70, Arrow with a 63, plethora of guys going well over 60 points. I think the turning point, Latrell went off and the Roosters came back into that game, but Wayne Bennett chucked Adam Reynolds back out there, and that changed the whole dynamic of the game for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure did. That game had me so salty. I know I'm a Chooks fan, and you know, sometimes you get a bit passionate, but it was that moment where Latrell scored and he threw the ball at Fletcher Baker's head. It really got to me, because that for me was a very serious thing. Like, he could seriously do damage to that bloke if that football hits him in the temples.
Yeah, it's Latrell, it's the way he plays, and unfortunately he's cost his side his appearance for the rest of the year, as with Joey Manu, a depressed fracture of the cheekbone or the eye socket, one of the two. Like, the,
I think it's both.
Yeah, it didn't look good. It was like a cartoon, basically. Like, you know how when a cartoon character gets injured, it just balloons up out of nowhere? That's what it was with Manu. Like, you saw him get hit, and he stood up, and nothing really sort of was there, and then the camera cut away for 15, 20 seconds, and the trainer was walking him off, and it was just this big egg on his eye, and unfortunately for him, his season's done. He was having a good game. He was on 68 points, what he finished up on. Sam Verrill, 79. Egan Butcher, if someone like an Angus Crichton, if his judiciary record continues to be poor and he spends some time away on the sideline, Egan Butcher's got a fantastic base. We didn't see the attacking upside that a lot of footy fans know he has, but he just churned out 70 points, all in base. Fantastic. And yeah, as you said, much, much more productive than his brother.
Yeah, 56 tackles, I will add. Angus has probably only got 1 year. Chances are he's going to leave the Chooks after the season. I think he's going to leave the NRL. So there will be an opening coming up in the near future. We'll just have to see how they use Butcher next season. The Roosters got a few guys in and out over the summer. So, but yeah, his work rate is phenomenal. He's a really good player, and he's only going to get better the more minutes that he starts. And I just love the kid. I can't wait to see more of him.
This happens every year. CIC Watakiaho starts off the season fantastically. We think how good the preseason moves have been, fantastic. And then he falls off a cliff in the middle of the year, and then he comes back home with a flurry, and it looks like he was goal kicking over Sam Walker, which is huge. I mean, we saw at the start of the Supercoach, I think he was averaging 70-odd points. And when Keary's back and Tedesco's there, they're going to be putting up 30, 35 points a game on average. And that's going to see kick more goals over Sam Walker. So if he can hold the goal kicking for next year, I think I'm going to buy back into the trap again next year, mate. I did it this year. I think I'll end up be stuck doing it next year. Front row goal kicking, cannot complain, but it might give Sam Walker more time in the offseason to work on that goal kicking. So we'll have to wait for trials next year to see what happens there. The next game, mate, this was surprisingly a pretty good game. The Dragons and the Cowboys. The Cowboys came out after the second half, mate, and really turned it on. I think they put on 3 tries in the space of about 6 or 7 minutes.
I think it was 4 tries in 8 minutes, actually. They just blitzed it for just a really quick period, and they look like world beaters, and they're throwing it around like the Harlem Globetrotters. as well. And yeah, I actually really enjoyed the game. I was a bit frustrated watching it because I own Jack Bird and I own Valentine Holmes, and there was a couple of decisions where the try assists and the line break assists went a little bit skew-iff to what I thought they would, and I thought I was going to get some points and I didn't. But outside of that, it was an entertaining game. Sometimes these lower teams, when they just have an absolute shootout of points and start throwing it around, is really entertaining to watch.
And in the preview, we said that the Cowboys like a lot of points to the center wings and halves and fullbacks. We saw, I think we both highlighted Mekhali Ravalawa and Zach Lomax to be pretty standouts for this game. 90 for Ravalawa and 75 for Lomax. A lot of people are calling Sebo the Pullman's Ravalawa. Some of those shots he put on, mate, you wouldn't want to run into him in a dark night.
Tell you what, I hope he got some Dally M points in the losing side, because he dead set saved two tries with absolute monstrous shots. The one that he did on the, I can't remember who it was. It was one of the rookie kids. He was going to score his first try, and Ravalawa has absolutely belted him about 5 metres from the try line. They were just great hits, and it was good to see from McKaylee, because, yes, sometimes he's a bit hot and cold as a player, but those shots reminded me of, what's his name?
Tufour?
Yeah.
Big George Tufour. I mean, I know that the popular online meme is to laugh at Ben Hunt, but in all realisticness, Ben Hunt's a fantastic footballer. And I would love to see Ben Hunt play 7. And Jaden Sullivan play 6 next to him next year. We saw him play hooker this game and really tore it up with a 92. Maybe hooker's his position moving forward. Who knows? But he played great. Tyrell Sloan played fantastic as well. He got 91. Jack Bird with a 50. Blake Laurie with a 49. Not a whole lot to go off there. For the Cowboys, Tom Dearden gets his first win this year as a starting halfback. Also had a pretty good game as well for Supercoach. 86 points for him. Scott Drinkwater as well. We keep touching on the Cowboys, mate, every week. We say we're not too sure how they're going to line up next year with Dearden and Townsend. I don't think you can leave Drinkwater out of this side. I think the 6 jersey is his for the taking next year.
I think it'll be Dearden that gets the 6 next year, and I think Drinkwater will move to the bench. But I don't like Dearden very much as a player myself. And yes, he played okay on the weekend, but you know, everyone has a good game from time to time. Just going back, you mentioned the Dragons and Sullivan. Most of the points against the Dragons came when Sullivan was off the park. And then when he came back on the park, they started scoring again. I really like him. And I think, like you said, as a number 9, I think he's quite a good option for them. If they can't get him on the park next year in a 6-7 type role, I can't see why he could not play him at hooker.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting headache to have if you are Hook Griffin. There's plenty of good youngsters coming through, and it's not all doom and gloom to be a Dragons fan, because you've got a lot of promising talent. As for the Cowboys, mate, who knows what's going to happen with this half scenario. I prefer the idea of having Chad at 7 and Drinkwater at 6 than just, I don't know what you do with Dearden. But Hamiso Tabuai-Fita at fullback, I really like the look of him. And I don't think it's a question of Valentine Holmes' best position. I think we can all agree that it's a wing. But the problem is they've signed him on fullback money. So how do you get the best use out of him? Played him in the centres this week. 34, not ideal. Kyle Felt as well. I think he's a fantastic option to leave on one wing. So you could definitely run the idea of Felt and Holmes on the wings. Reece Robson at 9. I like him a lot. I like Tamalolo on the front row. I also like Ruben Cotter at 13. So I think that's probably the way to go for the Cowboys. But it's that half scenario, it's a doozy to work out, mate.
Oh, absolutely. The bloke I was most impressed with was that Helium Lukey. I think that's his name.
Helium.
I'm pretty sure it's either
Hylam Lukey.
Hylam. Well, it's spelt Helium. So, well, good old Helium, because that's what I'm going to refer to him forever now. He was really damaging. He was good. Yeah, I was quite impressed with him because I haven't seen much of the Cowboys. So I hadn't really seen him before, but I was really impressed with the way that he was playing. So if he starts on an edge next year, I don't know what price he would come in at, but he could be one of those smoky type of mid-range options that you can get and then make a bit of money out of next year. So I'll keep an eye on him, actually.
If he comes around at sort of 350, 360, definitely worth an option to pick
those
up.
Those areas.
Similar to a Jordan Rickey this year, probably a little bit more expensive as well. As I said, like it's. I don't want to keep raving on about the Cowboys, but there is a lot of mouths to feed in terms of, I think, not so much players, but more egos to feed. And as I said, I'm not a huge fan of the Dearden signing. We've covered that enough. And the Valentine Holmes scenario, I like Hamiso at fullback. I think that's his thriving position. If he works on his ball playing, I think he could be very damaging with the speed he's got. It's just, what do you do with Valentine Holmes, mate? The Sharks, 24. The Broncos, 16. The Broncos put up a fight in this one. The Sharks just probably a little bit too much class across the pitch. Braden Trindle, back-to-back good games. 80 points for him. Sonny Katoa with a 79. Jesse Ramien with a 78. Will Kendi with a 67. Aiden Tomlin, 66. Britton Nakora, 63. Pretty clockwork here from the Sharks. There was parts of the game that they can definitely challenge some of these better sides on their day, but probably a little bit inconsistent to really make some kind of finals push late in September.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be pushing very far. But again, this was another one of those games that was quite entertaining to watch. Trindle's really good. He must have that slot nailed for next year. He's very impressive. Like, he doesn't get the raps that Yash Taylors and these blokes used to get when they were coming through. But I think he's a better player based on what I've seen at the moment. And for the Broncos, I quite liked their spine combination. I thought the Broncos were a much improved side. Payne Haas with more minutes and more role since the guys got injured, he has been dominating. Like, he looks like he's going to punch a hole every single time he gets that ball. Milford, first time I've seen Milford play with consistency in years and years and years.
We say consistency. It's been 2 weeks now. I think that says a lot about where Milf's career is at, doesn't it?
And where the Broncos have been at for the last few years as well. But yeah, Tessie Niu, he's starting to show some signs at fullback, really quick as well. And Albert Kelly was good years back when he played for the Titans. But he was always a bit up and down as a player. And I think he's been playing with a fair deal of consistency. So it'd be interesting to see who gets the spot next year beside Reynolds, because I know they're talking about Stags, but I don't think Stags is a 5'8", and I don't think that'll work.
No, the way to play Stags is you say, everyone clear out, give him the ball, and just let him go, because that's his deal. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because, yeah, Milford's departing, going to the Rabbitohs, apparently. If he plays in the halves with Walker, God, are we going to get sucked into the Milf hype again after a couple of good performances? We'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it. Tessie Niu at fullback, if he can somehow retain dual eligibility to play in the centre wings, could be another option to look at as well. Payne Haas, as we said, just looks like he's going to burst a hole through every run that he takes. And him and Adam Fennell Blake, the two standout front rowers, I feel, like genuine front rowers for Supercoach. And we have not much budget to work with next year, but we have a lot of players to fit in. So we have to work out if we go these premium front row options as sort of set and forget options, or we go the cheap route that we did this year and hope someone emerges. Going back to the Sharks, mate, you said that we're not too sure who's going to pair up in the halves. I think this is another good issue to have. You're going to have Hines come through the door. You've got Metcalf, you've got Moylan, you've got Trindle. There's four names there that need to fit into two positions. Ideally for me, I'd like to see Trindle and Hines with Metcalf at 14 and Kennedy off the bench, but you can definitely make arguments for all these guys as well. Like, even someone like Connor Tracy could slot back into the halves and do a job. And Luke Metcalf, obviously Supercoach wise, not the best game, only scoring 18 points, but the talent's there to see, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Will Kennedy's not, he's not moving from fullback, even though I think Hines' best spot is fullback. I don't think they'll move Will Kennedy. Trindle's got the seven. You know, that's his. Whether numbers on backs doesn't matter, 6-7. He's one of the halves for next year. I'd say Hines will partner Will Kennedy at fullback, and then nine's obviously Brayley. So, yeah, he'll probably end up playing in the 14 role. Connor Tracy maybe stays centre or wing, a little bit like Burton this season, if they want to keep.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also got Cam McInnes as well, so you can rotate between 9, 13, however you want to use Metcalf. If you want to bring Brayley off and have McInnes move into 9, have him sort of roaming around the edge, who knows. But, mate, the Storm, the streak's done. The Eels get the Chockies, 22-10. I think this makes the Storm even more threatening, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the upset of the season. I don't care what anyone says. Parramatta played really good football. I was really surprised. I think in the Storm as well played bad football. They made a lot of errors and they just lacked a little bit of cohesion. And it's been coming. Like, the gap's been closing for about a month now. So I'm not shocked to see them lose, but I honestly had put a line through the Eels as any type of contender. I thought the Eels had gotten soft and that, you know, I think I said to you off air that I thought Melbourne would put 30, 40 points on them, and that certainly wasn't the case. And yeah, respect to the Eels. Like, they broke the streak, which I'm happy about, because this Melbourne Storm side doesn't touch the 75 Roosters side. So I'm happy that they only equaled it. Got to add that, of course.
Of course. Have to get the jab in there.
I do have to get the jab in there. But it was a good game of football to watch. Like, it wasn't never really over until there was about 3 or 4 minutes to go. You always sat there and went, okay, when are the Storm going to score? And when are they going to equal it? And when are we going to Golden Point? That's what I was thinking watching it. And it was an interesting game. Pappenhausen, you know, I talked him up and said that he's back. Well, he wasn't back this game. He looked timid again.
Supercoach wise, he's back. He scored 71 points in a side that he put up 10. But I know what you mean. There was so much talk getting around how stifled the Melbourne attack looks with Pappenhausen at one compared to Hines.
Yeah, and the other thing too was, like, I've been talking Harry Green up for the last month. He had a shocker. He had a really bad game. It's one of the first times I've actually seen him play a bad game too.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I think, credit to Parramatta. Like, I think Parramatta played some of the best footy they can play, and they got the Storm on a bad day. But as I said at the start of this game recap, mate, I think this makes the Storm even more threatening come finals footy.
Oh, 100%. If I was a Storm fan, I'd be happy we lost that game, because they always say that there's a loss that you need to have if you're going to win the comp. Ask Penrith. Penrith didn't get that loss last year and lost their streak on grand final day. So I think the Storm are probably quietly happy that they got that loss, as long as they don't get, you know, stuffed up by the judiciary, because they do have quite a few players on report. I think they've got about 4 players, I think, that got cited. So provided that doesn't happen, I think the Storm will be secretly happy about the loss.
Before we break down the Supercoach scores for the game, we obviously have Josh Adokar departing with Xavier Coates coming through the door. It's going to open up another wing spot, and you've got a couple of names there where to pitch in. There's been times where Dean Aramea has slotted in, George Jennings as well. But Isaac Lemu, he looks very much, not because they look the same, but just the way they play, he looks very similar to a Vunivalu.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him. I think he needs more time in the top grade to learn the disciplines that he needs to play for the Storm. But in terms of pure raw skill, he's the most talented right winger they've got.
Yeah, and if he can be nurtured during the offseason, he's just a big body. And I think Bellamy likes those big bodies we've seen in prior years. You've got Corabetti, Vunivalu, as we mentioned, and now Lemu. I think George Jennings has too many errors in his game, and Dean Aramea maybe just not have the class to go to that next level. And yeah, if Lemu can develop in the offseason, then I think he'll be a genuine option to have next year. It'll be one of those guys that we know that you take the rocks or diamonds with, but outside of Jerome Hughes, if he can continue the form that he played this year, he'll be a very, very good option. As we touched on, mate, he got a 79. Lemu. Cam Munster also got a 74. Cam Munster, he just continues to do this. Like, you watch the game and he does sweet FA and pumps out scores because he takes the line on, he makes a lot of tackles, he's always in the round. The ruck, he just loves to get involved. And yeah, if we're worried about Adam Reynolds next year and his impact that is leaving the Rabbitohs, I can see a world where the consistency of Munster overtakes the ceiling of Walker.
Possibly. The thing about Munster is he's got great B plus P, which is base plus power. So that's his tackles, his offloads, his hit-ups, and his tackle busts. And he consistently hits those marks every week. So even if he doesn't get the try assists or the tries, which is the games that he does push 100 or go 100+, he still seems to fall into that 60 to 75 bracket because he has so many of them. I think he had like 8 tackle busts on the weekend, so, and he had multiple offloads, and it just pushes his numbers up into really consistent, solid scores. He's one of those blokes, I play him every week, and I know he's on the weeks that he goes well, I'm going to go probably get green arrows, but on the weeks that he doesn't go well, he's not going to hinder me at all, and I like that about him.
No, you're not going to lose sleep over a guy that gets you 75 points every game with the ceiling that Munster has. Ryan Pappenhausen, 71, although didn't look fantastic in the game, that's all you don't need that from Supercoach, you just want the guys to pump out the scores. Rima, 667, Jerome Hughes, 65, Christian Welch, 63. As someone that owned Welch in draft, the draft's over now, but I've been so impressed with him. Especially his first in. He's generally playing about 30 minutes, putting out 40 to 45 points in that first in, and then comes on the second stint and sort of opens up the field more for the Melbourne Storm. Brandon Smith, 62. This is the Brandon Smith that I want, playing 13, the one with a good 60 base. We know that the ceiling he has. It's just when he plays hooker for 80 minutes, it just without the tries, he just doesn't seem to go fantastic. We saw that at the start of the year. I'm not too sure if you remember, mate, but when Harry Grant was out, there was so much hype around the Chiefs to play 9, and I think he had a couple of mid-30 scores without the tries, but him at lock, more chances to run the ball, more chances to make tackles. If he can hold in the 13 role next year, he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, much better base at lock from Melbourne's perspective, but I think he's better off starting 9 and then moving to lock. They look like a better side when he does do that. But yeah, when he plays lock, he's got an outstanding base. And the thing with Smith is he's always a chance at a try. Like, I think he scored 8 out of 9 games at one stage this year. So if named at lock next year, that'll be a very interesting one. On Christian Welch, he's a fantastic player now. I remember when he was selected for Origin at first, I was like, really? This was going back a few years, but he's just developed so much as a player, and he's an absolute bloody legend online too, giving it to Peter Volandis about his rule changes.
I did see that. Christian Welch is very much one of the people, I feel, just the way he conducts himself, and that's all you can ask for from a player. I don't think you'd ever see Welch get into too much drama off the field. Can't wait for the off season when he does something stupid and people clip that up. But I mean, Addo Carr, mate, he got 50 without a try. You'll take that.
Of course you will.
Unfortunately, the Storm won't take his hamstring injury. It looks like he's going to be out for about 2 weeks at least, we'd see. We obviously saw him go off midway through the game, which was not ideal, but 50 points without a try is never a bad thing. For the Eels, as a Roosters fan, mate, who has a couple of wingers departing the club, Fergo back to Bondi?
I'd welcome him back. No problems whatsoever. I can't believe that he hasn't had a spot all season, well, most of this season with Parramatta. So I'd certainly welcome him back. I like the experience that he would bring. I don't think there is a spot for him next year fully fit, but I think we've learned over the last couple of years that the Roosters struggle to keep them fully fit. So Fergo, if you want to come back, you're welcome, brother.
So I think Parramatta, they've opted not to re-sign him, and they're moving towards Hayes Dunster, who also pumped out an 82 on the weekend. Isaiah Papali'i back, question mark?
He certainly had much more involvement. His base went through the roof on the weekend. And I don't know if that was simply because Parramatta stepped up and he stepped up as a forward leader and therefore his base increased. But I watched the game closely and he was involved in everything. If the Storm were trying anything, bang, Papali'i was there saying, no, not today.
Not today, no. Gutho, 71. Joey Lussick, 70. Nathan Brown, 67. Rounds out the better scores for Parramatta, but this is more of a team performance. I feel like they clicked well as a unit, and to beat Melbourne, no matter how bad they play, it's always something to watch up. And they beat them twice this year, mate.
I beat them 4 out of the last 5, actually.
Oh, but they are the bogey side.
Yeah,
I think the run started with the week after Parramatta and ended at the hands of Parramatta. So Brad Arthur, the coach killer. He's worked wonders, mate. The Seagulls, 36, the Bulldogs, 18. This was a pretty nervous first half for a lot of owners.
Yeah, you would know. Yeah, so I had the captain on Turbo, so I was not very happy at halftime. But Turbo did what Turbo does in the second half. I thought the game was a bit of a bludger of a game. Respect to the Bulldogs, they really showed up and they played a much better brand of footy this week. And the Eagles, they never really clicked into gear, I thought. I thought maybe they took the Bulldogs a little bit for granted. And then I think they were down by 2 points at halftime. And then clicked into gear. Tom got his dodgy first try, which was a blatant knock on.
If that was any other player, I reckon the Supercoach, if that was like some random, if that was like Matt Dufty, like I reckon the Supercoach world would explode. But because it's Turbo, everyone laughs and chuckles, but it's not a good look for the game.
Yeah, I was pretty tense on Saturday afternoon, so I was screaming at the screen at this point with some nice foul language. And then it came up, try confirmed, and I was like, what? I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I wasn't complaining, but I got to tell you, Ola Kawatu, I love that dude. He is the best edge back row I've seen come through this year in terms of rookies. Daly Cherry Evans is biting me week in and week out because I nearly got Cherry, but I didn't because he didn't blow the second bye. And that one's hurt me. Saab's a good winger. He's a lazy winger, but God, it's good to watch him in full flight. And I was really impressed with Dylan Walker too. I know I said last week that I thought he might really expose the middle. One of the best games I've seen Dylan Walker play, I thought he was probably, if you take out Turbo, obviously getting a hat-trick, I thought he was probably one of their best players on the park.
Yeah, as we touched on Dylan Walker in the sort of that cheapy category a couple of weeks ago, it was hard to pull the trigger on him, but he can pump out sort of a 60-ish score. On Turbo, the three tries after halftime blew the game open, and the 36-18. I don't think the Bulldogs were ever a chance of winning, no matter what the scoreline said. You always think Manly with Trbojevic are going to just do something. And with the last Australian seven that was named in Cherry Evans, there is quality there. Kieran Foran with the 7 yet as well. Like they've got quality on both edges. Hamba Ola Kawatu through the middle. Like there's just so much strike power. I didn't fancy the Bulldogs getting the job done, but they definitely hung in there. Ruben Garrick, a lot of people went pod. A lot of people captained Garrick this week, and I say only got a 69. He didn't get a try, so you'll take that all day long. But yeah, Turbo stole the headlines this week with a 170. Just he continues to do this, and he's going to finish with an average well over 140 and blow Tedesco out of the water last year that averaged, I think it was 95 or something ridiculous like that. For the Bulldogs, mate, Josh Jackson. No Luke Thompson, Josh Jackson scores well. 96 for him, fantastic. No one else got above 60, unfortunately, for them, though, and I think that's the issue. They don't have that spark, that X factor, and mentioned this to a couple of the boys, that I understand that the Bulldogs don't have that much quality, but you can see that they offer nothing in attack. It's just block play after block play after block play, and I think Barrett is getting exposed. I think people are now sort of realizing that maybe he wasn't the brains behind the Panthers' success.
No, I think a lot of people like to slap down Ivan Cleary and say that the Penrith were only succeeding because of Barrett, which I just think's rubbish, because Penrith was succeeding the first time around with Ivan Cleary as well until whatever happened with Gus Gould and whatnot.
I think you are right. I think a lot of Panthers fans contribute the success to. Is it Cameron Salcedo?
Ciraldo.
Yeah, I think a lot of Panthers fans that are in the know, I think they credit him way more than they credit Barrett. I think it's pretty clear to see why.
Yeah, but you are right. And one thing I watch as a football fan and as a super coach fan is, and you'll hear me talk about this over time, is structure. And the better sides have structure. Melbourne's structure went away last week and they got in each other's way. And I think that's why they lost. Their structure fell apart. They've still got all the talent on the park, but if you don't have structure to run your plays properly, then you're not going to score the points. And that's something that Manly, when attacking, do really well. So Manly changed their structure this week. And Manly started targeting inside balls instead of spreading wide to the left. They kept going inside to the right. And it exposed the Bulldogs because I think two, if not three, of Tom's tries were all back on the inside. And they haven't been running that play all year. But it's obviously something from a structure point of view that they've exposed in the Bulldogs. And then they've targeted and executed that this week. And the Bulldogs play, they don't have that same line. And you can see it. They're all over the place. There is no set line. they play all together, almost like when you watch under sixes. And that's, I don't mean that in a real mean, negative way towards the Bulldogs, but they lack that structure and they're all just kind of there going, no, you do it, you create it. Over time, if they can create that structure and get better week to week, I think they've got the talent. I just think they need to learn how to use that talent.
I think if people go back and watch that game as well, the Bulldogs' right defense, the side that Garrick was put up against, was defending in an umbrella formation. So the winger was up and in, even without the ball swinging out. So you'll see a lot of defenders, like a lot of opposition defenders, jump in and jam the center to stop that play. But they were doing that, like I think it was Ockenball. He was in. He was giving Garrick the touchline, and he was just targeting Harper, Brad Parker, before the ball even came out. So, yeah, Manly countered that by coming inside. You talk about structure a lot, mate. I know it's a cliche saying, but you also talk about the term eyes up footy. And it's all well and good for the Bulldogs to run their set play after set play after set play. But when you've got a guy, when you've got a guy like Turbo that can just change that, like he can override the play and just cut back and it, rather than him running out the back, he can just take the ball in his hands and change something if he sees something. I don't think the Bulldogs have that. And I think Burton will be a good addition for that. We've seen Burton play in the halves this year for the Panthers that when it's not on, Burton will just chuck a left footstep and go himself. I think that'll help them a lot as well next year. And hopefully they can find something because they are developing a good roster. They're developing a forward pack who should get them on the front foot, which will allow their premium backs to round up. The last game, mate, for the round, Panthers 30, Tigers 16. I think the scoreline flatters the Tigers a little bit here. The Panthers sort of switched off at the end.
Yeah. Penrith were always in control, but Penrith at the same time weren't their clinical best. I don't know how Cleary got 100 super coach points. He had a poor game. He dropped the ball three or four times. He kicked the ball unusually dead quite a few times. And how he got 100's beyond me, but he is the Unicorn King, so I won't argue it. I think the Tigers lack halves that can...
The Tigers lack a lot, mate.
They do, but they've actually got quite a few players. Like, Utukumanu is a really good prop and a really underrated player. And he doesn't get much credit. Like, if you watch the telecasts of the Tigers games, you virtually, unless he's scoring a try, they don't talk about him. They're always talking about certain players. And they've got quite a few good players. Sean Blaw's a good player. Jake Sinkman's a good player. Leilua, Lucy, of the Lucy version, he's a good player as well. And he's had a really good season. It's just they lack the key pieces to really take that side to the next level. Whether or not Madge is their long-term coach, I don't know, because Madge is not particularly a really defensive coach, and I think the Tigers need to start attacking with their defense. I think if they learn how to protect their own line, their attack will be able to play off the back of that, but they need to find a seven. It's not Luke Brooks.
I think Madge was a very good defensive coach 10 years ago. I think with the way the game's changed, he may not be adjusting as well. I think what the Tigers do lack, and if I could have the ideal signings, I would sign two very, very good defensive centres, two guys that know how to read the play well, because I like the strike that Nofaluma and Ken Mamalua bring. I like that they both can hit the ball up quite well. They can take a lot of stress off the forwards, but we know both those guys defensively aren't the best. If you can get... This is Rogue, because I know he's moved to the back row, but someone like Ewan Aiken, he's a very good defensive center. Doesn't pass the ball much, so you're probably going to lose a bit. So you could just run block plays that don't have Aiken touching the ball much. But just someone that can defend that center spot well. It doesn't make rash decisions. Alex Twal, I think he's just as much of a cult hero he is, he's very meat and potatoes. He'll do his hit-ups, make his tackles. Not much else. Your strike comes from you guys like your Utukumanu's, your Luciano Lua's, Blaw as well. Like your strike comes from those guys. Whereas someone like a Luke Garner, who was playing in the back row before Blaw took over, was very much just a line runner, make his tackles, repeat. Thomas McKayley as well, another one. I think he needs to work out what's happening with this hooker rotation between Simpkin and Little. I think it's that they both play different styles of footy. So to have one of them come off midway through the game and have another one come on, I think stifles the halves. Even though Luke Brooks, my reservations are out on him, it's tough for him having a hooker that likes to run the ball compared to someone that likes to pass. He doesn't know sort of what's happening. I don't think Luke Brooks has the aura to command the ball when he needs to. Adam Dewey, is a fantastic ball runner, ball playing, not his strongest point, but a good ball runner nonetheless. So, yeah, I think some recruitment has to get done. Jackson Hastings coming through the door next year as well. I think we're getting, is it Oliver Gerdhart? I think that's his name coming from the Super League next year, meant to be a pretty decent centre for the Super League. So hopefully he can come in and provide some kind of defensive focus. I think it's the same old for the Tigers, though, lacking some quality along the park, but just has enough on the park to not be embarrassed week in, week out. And I just, the gap between 8th and the Tigers, I think, is quite a fair way away. You look at the Sharks and look at the developments, man. Like, let's say the Sharks are the 8th best side in the comp. You look at the developments they're making with recruitment and coaching staff and whatnot and who they're attracting and compared to what the Tigers do. So that there was my little Tigers rant. It's a tough season. It's a tough time being a Tigers fan, mate.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't finish 9th. But, sorry.
Mate, 9th is good. That means we're the best of the rest. I'll take that.
The premiers that weren't. What you said is right. If you can get those defensive centres, it will really mask what you said about Norfoluma and the Warriors, Blake, because they've both come a long way. The problem is that your centres, as you said, don't slide. Like, if you watch Olam and what's his name? Yeah,
they jam.
Yeah, they jam and then they slide. When the teams try and go around them, they slide and they go with it. And then a key one is if you watch, I think, the Eels' first try on the weekend, Olam ran into Munster as they were trying to slide and it created the hole. But it showed you clearly how they defend. They jam in and then they slide out and they do it so well that teams can't crack them. If your centers can start doing that, what Nofaluma and Mamalo do won't be as big an issue because their attack is brilliant. Like, Mamalo has really impressed me. He's playing some of the best footy I've seen in a couple of years.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think you get rid of them. You take the attacking upside that both those guys have, but you have to work around that. And the Tiger centers do jam, but they don't slide. So therefore, you're leaving Mamalo and Nofaluma exposed. And when they see that, like, both those guys are not fantastic defensive centers. When they see their inside man jam, like, your actual reaction is to be like, oh shit, let's follow. And therefore, it's a 2-on-none on the outside, and it just makes the wingers look bad. When in reality, I think it's more of a center issue.
Yeah, the center's exposing the winger, but the winger's taking the fall.
Also, Luciano isn't the greatest defensive back row either. He possesses more attacking upside, so. There is plenty to unpack. I mean, for the Panthers, Dylan Kiki out 21, 121, sorry. That as probably, I say probably, it's all but certain that's propelled Timmy, the coach of the Viliamis, into first place and won't be caught. I think he's 400 points clear heading into the final round and a fantastic pod move in Kiki out, Cleary 100. I think he got given the updates for the Jerome Luai try. He didn't get anything when it happened, and then I think recounts got him up there a bit. Brian Toto, what a week for him to come back. 94 with a try, but also just relentless run meters as well.
How good is Brian Toto? Seriously. The base on that guy, and I actually thought he scored that first one. I didn't think there was proof that he put his foot out. So he could have, like, if he gets that, you add on about 33 points probably, because he effectively gets a tackle bust and a run for it as well. And he suddenly comes back. He would have been coming back and scoring 125, 130 points. It's just insane. And then, you know, even if you take out his try, he still scored 64 points in pretty much, you know, BNP, which is amazing.
Really happy to see Tevita Pengai score a try. As a Tigers fan, it sucks to see him score into the post and some pretty piss poor defense there. But just from an NRL fan, seeing what he's gone through, it's really good to see him bounce back and find a place in this Panthers side. I think Ivan Cleary's using him well in short, sharp bursts. Moses Leota, with the speed of a fullback, to absolutely burst through the middle to get on the end of that kick from Cleary. He flew from nowhere.
Yeah, so certainly took me by surprise, that one. And it was similar with Utakumano's try, too. It was like the most unlikely of blokes following up the play, two big props, getting the first two tries of the game, I think it was. It was fantastic.
Wouldn't be a bad return if you had the old school doubles at the ground, mate. For the Tigers, we mentioned Big Stefano, 83, Alex Twal, 72, Jacob Little, 62, Ken Mamalo, 60. That's sort of about it for them. Mate, we'll touch on the award show probably middle of next week after the season's over, but in the category of Supercoach Dud of the Year, David Norvalumer's name was thrown up and he was given the nomination and just overperformed last year with Benji Marshall at the helm. And I think with not as good as a ball-playing half as Benji Marshall, he's really been found out. The base is just not there. Or it is there, but the what we know of him is just not the same.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look who the nominees are. I think I saw Tino Fasua-Mulali's name on there. He's on there.
So, the way that I did it was I put an open poll out, give me all your names, and I took the four most popular names and compiled them into a poll. And for Dud of the Year was Charlie Staines, David Norvalumer, Tino Fasua-Mulali, and I can't remember who the other one was, but someone, yeah. Oh, Jason Tamalolo as well, yeah. So, yeah, your boy Tino got a mention.
Yeah, no, that's a G-up. That is an absolute G-up. He's had a pretty good season. People need to, you know,
he didn't
level themselves. He was never going to average 80 this year.
I'll give you a hot tip. He didn't win Dud of the Year.
Good. I'm glad because I was going to have to absolutely bruise he loses it if you did that because I've held him all year. He's been a pretty decent plug. He's done pretty much what I thought.
He's just been a little bit underwhelming for what people had hyped coming out of a Melbourne.
That's the problem.
Coming out of a people Melbourne thought, system.
Oh, yeah, oh no, he's going to the Titans. He's going to get, you know, 80 minutes a game. He's going to average 80 points. How good? Never going to happen.
Mitch Rain is also not Cameron Smith as well.
Yeah, exactly. But looking forward to that show.
Yeah, I'm very keen for the award show. We'll cover our best positions for each thing. We'll also give our spin on the fan-voted award shows, but there's plenty to come up. We've got one more preview left. We've got one more roundup left, one more award show, and then we'll hang the mic up for the year, and who knows, mate, maybe we'll get you back next year.
Looking forward to it.
Guys, that is going to be the round 24 roundup. If you got through to the grand final, well done. If you've bet out for Supercoach, and this is the last podcast you listen to, I want to thank you all so much for getting behind me, the podcast, and there's going to be big, big changes next year, and there's a lot of things I'm really excited to be working on next year. If Brew comes along, if he wants to come on next year, awesome. We're going to ramp things up all the more, and I think... I don't think I can go any worse this year than what I did last year, mate. Or sorry, I don't think I can go any worse next year than what I did this year, mate.
Well, on the flip side, I don't know if I can go as good next year. So next year, we're going to have some good bands if I am.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm back.
No worries. As I said, guys, thank you very much for listening. As always, keep your friends close and keep those pods closer.